birthday party for Miss Linda Greenwood. I won't say where it's based, but she said it's her sweet 16, so we're going to go with that. But I do have to say this. I was raised in this church, and my earliest memories are probably 4 or 5. And me and Mike were best buddies. We ran around the church. We knew where the attic was, where the foosball table was hidden.
Caused all kinds of fun. But
what I remember
every time I think of Linda is the green van. And she'd pull up in the green van, and Linda and 5 kids would jump out of that van. Mark, Mindy, Matt, Michelle, Mike. And then I think back now, I mean, that was, 48 years ago that I could probably remember it. And what a woman of faith that knew that the love of Christ was so important that she needed this to be a part of her family. And no matter what it took, she was there and she was early and part of the choir. And just sometimes when you look at people in the age and maybe they're quieter and they get a little bit hidden. But Linda, you are just a present from God to your family, to us. And God bless you for your faithfulness. And just for someone like me that can watch you all these years and see what it means to truly say Jesus is my God and I will live with him and for him for my life. So God bless you. So a special time to celebrate her birthday, but also just celebrate just a woman of God that we've had the privilege of being a part of for all the years of this church family. All right. Got myself all emotional. Now I need to get serious. What we wanted to do in my perfect world, Easter was going to bring in, visitors and a whole bunch of people who didn't know God, and I still pray that that happens. But we're trying to think as a team, what is it that we want to accomplish through this series? And this is going to affect people who love Jesus, people who don't even know Jesus. But our goal is we want to be reintroduced to who Jesus really is. Have you ever had something brand new that you were given, or maybe it was a present, and it just meant so much to you, and you let everybody know about it, and it was just phenomenal. You couldn't even believe that you received this, and over time, you just get used to it. And somehow, some way, that can become almost a relationship with Jesus. There's one point in my life where it was a surprise like no other, and it was a car, and my dad had worked out a deal for me to get this car, and I didn't really know about it. His friend had 2 cars. They were both Novas, and one was one that, I had a little bit of a budget, and I could afford this car, but this guy had this other car, man. It was a 76. He had tricked out all white interior SS. Well, it was SS clone Nova. Manual, I love shifting. Had a nice little sound to it, 305 motor. And so we go to this house, and I've seen the blue car I thought I was going to get. It wasn't the burnt orange SS. And I get there, and I go over to the car, and Dad says, "Hey, bud, that's not the one we came to see." And his friend that he had worked with, we're at his house, Dad had worked out a deal. Because we couldn't really afford this other car, not on my little budget. And, of course, Dad and Mom threw some in. Dad made some trades with his friend, and they opened the garage door. And there is the most beautiful car, hottest looking. It had the mags, the spinners. You ever look at something and you think, I don't even deserve this. And you're just like pinching yourself thinking, Dad told me to get in that car and take it for a drive. And I'm thinking, I couldn't even fathom. I was so nerved up. I knew how to drive a stick. I get in the thing and I kill it, and Dad puts the guy in with me instead of him. So I'm like, he probably thinks this kid didn't know how to drive a stick. And I just, the whole time I'm driving this car, I couldn't even believe. It's like, I don't deserve this car. I can't afford the car. This was the kind of car when you pull into the parking lot at Lincoln High School, you are the man. It's like, where did you get that car? I mean, this was that cool of a car. And it was, I'm not even worthy of this car. And so Dad and I take it home, and I'm just like giddy, and Dad and Mom and my brother come out, and they pray over the car, I remember specifically, because as they're praying, I apparently had suppressed the clutch. And the car starts moving. Well, my eyes are shut. Dad's on the outside, you know, and as in his prayer, he says, "And Lord God, please tell Matt to step on the brake." And I open my eyes, and I'm like, "Oh, sorry." They're like praying and just walking with the car, you know. And they prayed. Me and my brother got in the car, and we went to every friend that I knew and girlfriend's house and just showed them this car, because I just couldn't even believe that this had happened. Now, guess what happened over the months and years of owning that car? I still appreciated it. I still loved it, but I got used to it. And it wasn't, you know, you weren't getting compliments every time you pull up, and you just, the people recognized that car. If they saw the car, that, "Oh, Matt's here." It's not how great of a car it is. I got used to it. It was just something I got in, and it got me from A to B. See, in Christianity, I think it's easy for us to get used to Jesus. We understand, yeah, he's God's son. We've asked him in our hearts. We mean it. I mean, read our Bibles. We come to church. But that excitement, that I can't believe, I don't even deserve this Jesus. I don't deserve this grace. And yet, it's mine. Is this even happening? I mean, I'm pinching myself. I want to go to all my friends and tell them about this Jesus. And man, not only what he did for me, but what he can do for you. But over time, we just get, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Yeah, he's my Lord. But we lose the excitement, because do we really comprehend who he really is, what he's really done for us, and what kind of power we have through him to affect our world. And so we're using a video series, and each week it's about usually no shorter than 5, no longer 11-minute video series. But Francis Chan, I've read some of his stuff, I've watched some of his stuff. This man is just, he understands the passion of who Jesus is. So when we viewed this, we thought this is the perfect way to get the message across, just to revive us and who Jesus is in our lives, as well as who we are living for. And so watch this video, and you're just going to appreciate someone who is excited as he should be about who Christ is. last sentence just struck me, stayed with me. Teach us to be fascinated by the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, hopefully this, I just pray that this series just reinvigorates us. If you're out there and you're lost and Jesus isn't your Savior, man, we can pray and that can happen, but most of us I'm staring at, Jesus is your Savior. And this isn't to say, hey, you're doing a bad job of it. Not at all. But just to be reminded of what that really means. How fascinating. I mean, you were chosen by God, bought by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through that, you inherited eternal life because you were adopted into His family. That all happened because we chose to believe Jesus is the Son of God. And look at the, even last week, the turn of events as we studied the time of Easter and resurrection, what had to happen for all this to take place? And if you go way back before Genesis was written, from the beginning of time, that God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ got together and they had this plan to make it possible for all of us to be in their eternity. I mean, this is huge. And we come at the point where it's been all acted out and written out for us, and we can read all about it. We have the opportunity to spread that good news. That is fascinating news. And just to think that, man, we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from the pit of hell. Not because we deserved it, but because of the love of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can get pumped up about that, how does that affect your day? How does that change your thought process when you're around people? Because that is truth. The majority of us already believe in that truth. But the scripture in this series is going to help us understand maybe how big and how important it is, so we don't get tired in a way of the new car smell. Anyone ever bought that new car? And it's great, and over time it's just the car. We don't want Jesus to be just the Savior. Man, He is the Savior. He has changed my life. He has allowed me to live in a way that can help change others. We all have the ability to be, to carry that kind of mantle, to have that kind of discipleship thrust upon us. So if we go through this, it's really interesting to read about John the Baptist. Mark 1, 1 and 2. He says, this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. So John, I mean, can you imagine as Francis was standing in the Jordan River just saying, this is where John stood. Can you imagine? As John the Baptist realized who was walking towards him. I mean, John the Baptist, a great man. I mean, it was how he was born. His mother was barren, and so it was a miracle in and of itself. But he was the messenger. And he's saying, clear the road for Jesus. What does that mean? If you're clearing the road, have you ever been in a situation where the road has been cleared for someone as they're walking by? Somebody pretty important is coming, number one. Number two, what I thought of is, if I'm clearing the road, what if I take that personally? How do I clear my road for Jesus? I clear my mind. I clear my schedule. I clear some things I've put in front of him. How do you? This is the Messiah we're talking about. This is the King of Kings. This is Jesus who has came and died for us. John's saying, clear the road for him. Make a straight path so that your life is showing this man and not cluttered by everything else. John goes on, as he announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater, I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. And so with that is a tremendous amount of humility that John the Baptist was showing. John the Baptist was kind of the man. I mean, he had even the high priest coming out to see what's this crowd, what's going on here. The dude is just camel fur, eating locusts and honey. What's so special about this guy? But it was his message that stood out. And so John realized that. You see, we're all gifted. And sometimes it's easy for us to take those gifts or those abilities and give ourselves credit for it. Hey, because I went to college and I studied hard. At the dairy, not that it's a big deal to be a good mechanic, but the dairy, whether they should or not, people hold me kind of high. And so I go on there. Why? Because I go to their machines. Number one, I think I care for them and that means something. But I fix their machines. And so if you were to walk into the dairy and say the name Matt Sanford, it's probably kind of a big deal. Not as big as a Fred Fredergill, but I'll explain that later. Smartest man in the dairy right over here. It's kind of a big deal. Is it easy for me to allow that go to my head? Who gave me the gift of mechanics? I've had schooling, I've grown in it, but it was just something put in me, just this ability to look at something and troubleshoot a problem. God gave that to me. So if I'm just building myself or becoming arrogant around people, oh man, you're stupid, you don't know anything, I always have to come out and fix your, that's not what this is about. John the Baptist was drawing a crowd. People were enamored by him, but he got it. He said, no, clear the road for this Messiah. I'm not even worthy to, it's one thing to untie the sandals, I'm not even worthy to stoop down to take the action of untying the sandals of this man. You guys have to understand, this is the Messiah. John took the posture of complete humility, which allowed God to work in his life. You see, if we get proud of ourselves, we kind of block off the ability for God to work through us. So you're all, whether you're humble or not, you're all gifted. But always be quick to say, man, I've had people ask me before, I'm trying to get better at the answer. Hey, how'd you become so good at that? I said, the start was just a gift that God gave me. And after that, you know, it's a lot of hard work and you just stay at it and you don't give up and you have patience. And it's even amazing when I think of my job, how the fruit of the Spirit is so important to mechanics. You know, it's patience is such a huge thing. People say, how can you work on something? I was on a machine last week for 6 hours and I never threw a wrench. Just God's Holy Spirit, when you allow him to work, when you take a humble posture of, I am just a servant here to do your will, he can work through you. And John the Baptist showed that by saying, I'm not even worthy to untie this man's sandals. And then here comes Jesus, and Francis read the scripture already, but he's baptized, and he looks up, and it says the heavens split. And God said, this is my son, who I am well pleased. Can you imagine being a part of all of that? And when I think about some of the people that were there, were they also at the cross when he's being crucified? Were they the ones yelling, crucify him? I mean, it blows my mind to think that the heavens split and a voice came out of the sky and said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. And he said to Jesus, you bring me great joy. And this is very interesting. I want us to pay close attention to this passage. So this great thing happens. You know, John, the messenger, prepares the way. Prophecy from 700 years ago was being right in front of it, was being brought out, acted out. And then this happens. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals and the angels took care of him. If you go to Matthew 4, it gives a more detailed story of this. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Here it says compelled. Why do you think Jesus was led to where Satan was going to be? I'm going to give you a weird answer. It doesn't matter. What happens if you're led somewhere? What has to happen? You have to make a choice. Hopefully God goes before you. Yeah. But you have to choose. Unless someone's wrapped a chain around your neck or something, you can even, maybe you've said these words in a sentence. Hey, I read this and, well, I was just led to that. Or so-and-so led me. If someone's going to lead you, you have to choose, am I going to follow? Am I going to follow? And there's times, anyone ever been like on a bike or a motorcycle and you're on a trail and you're behind someone that's probably better than you? And all of a sudden, I've been on a motorcycle where a friend of mine, he just, hey, follow me, okay. And he just takes this jump and I go up and I put the brakes on and I'm looking down. Woo! I don't know if I want to go there or not, you know. Hey, I'm not sure if I'm as good as you. But if you choose to be led, you're saying, I am going to go. So what I read here is Jesus said, although he was in human form now, he had all the temptations, he had all the abilities to fail that we had. But he not only was compelled, but he allowed himself to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't concerned about where he was going. It's kind of like we talked a few weeks ago, and Chad talked about a devotional he had read where Abraham was just told by God just to leave without knowing where he was going. Jesus portrayed the same faith in God. The Holy Spirit led him out to a place that was going to be one of the toughest challenges he ever had. But he went because he said, I want to be under the authority of the Holy Spirit. So let's take that example of this Messiah into your lives right now. I won't know the answer to these questions, but how is God speaking to you? Where is he trying to lead you? How many of you can say, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. Why? Why would something be on your mind for a while? Is there anything that's been on your mind for a while that you just haven't just stepped up and done it? Have you ever been, maybe you're reading the word or you're just in prayer and you just sense this. Maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's a person, maybe, and you're thinking, and it just keeps coming back in your mind, but you just haven't, it's like you're the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you, but you're just not quite ready to walk behind. Because our minds, kind of like me in the motorcycle, I had to look, I had to, is it worth it? Am I going to get hurt here? Do I take this jump like so-and-so did, or do I, you know, turn around and go around the long way? Jesus allowed himself to be led by the Holy Spirit, even when he wasn't sure where he was going. The biggest example, I want this series to reinvigorate us, to remind us of who the Messiah is, but we have to remember the whole time we are called to live as Jesus lived. So he is an example, and some of us, all of us sometimes want to write, yeah, but we just write it off. He was perfect, Matt. So of course, no, he lived a perfect life, but he had every opportunity to sin that we had. He is the example set before us. So he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him into the wilderness where he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And during those days, Satan popped up 3 different times to tempt him. But it was because of his allegiance to the God, his understanding of the word, that he could fight those temptations. So where is God trying to lead you? Who is he leading you to? Maybe what group, what people, what family member? How many times have you said to yourself, I've really been thinking about this, or I really should, but you haven't, and why? I want this to propel us that the person, when you're in prayer and you're in the Word of God and you're feeling led, God has a plan for you, and we can't always see it, we can't always understand it. But we just have to go. Now, did you hear the first part I said? Be in communion with God. Be in a relationship with God. We're all imperfect, but I don't want this message to get misconstrued. Hey, I have this idea, and Matt said, just go for it. Well, I've had some pretty stupid ideas in my day that I shouldn't have gone for. I could tell many stories, but when you are just, God wants you to be successful in your walk with him because it's going to affect people for eternity. So let's Let's be fascinated by God together. Let's be like, have the humility of a John the Baptist, even though he had a crowd drawn to him and he was a gifted communicator. Man, he knew who his Messiah was. And then let's have the ability like Jesus just to say, Holy Spirit, where do you want to take me? And I'm just going to go. See, our lives, at the end of the day, we all talk about, I want a legacy. I'd love to have a neat legacy. But I want the legacy to point to God, not to great things that Matt did. If we step out in faith, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, if we act on the prompting, God is going to do amazing things for you. People are going to hear about Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit wants that to happen. He is going to work through us in ways that we'll stand back and think, how in the world was I even a part of that? You ever been there? I look back at some of my youth ministry days and some of the things that people said I said or did. I'm thinking, that's not even me. And it wasn't. It's just you allow yourself to say, God, what do you want me to do? And you just go and you do it. That's the power of God. We're going to do things just a tick differently. I'm going to pray over us. And then my wife's going to come up. I really want you to pay attention to what she's going to talk about. It's a devotional over what we're talking about. It's Francis Chan. He has a devotional through Right Now Media. And we would love for you to follow that devotional. It's going to prepare you for each message, but just kind of prepare your hearts also for what Jesus wants to do through each one of us. So as I pray, think about the new car smell. Is Jesus still fresh in our lives? Do we need to be refreshing? And if so, will we allow it to happen? Will we walk in humility? Will we walk in faith of the Holy Spirit? So, Father, I pray over every person right now, listening to us, watching us. Dear God, may you be so real to us daily. May we lean so heavily on your Holy Spirit and on your word and acting, dear God, what we sense you're telling us. May we give our lives up and just say, God, now it is just, Jesus, it is you working through me. May I not falter on my, sensing that I should say something and just stop myself because of how I might look. God, allow us to be fascinated by Jesus so much so that we want people to understand this fascination that we have. And we know that there is a joy and there is a hope and there is a grace. This Jesus did these miraculous things and then he died for us. He gave us something that no one else could give us. He saved us from Satan, where no other religion, no other faith can do that. And we have it. We have it. Jesus, what you did for us, thank you. May we be fascinated by that. May we want to shout that from the rooftops. May we want everyone to see what we have and have what we have. May we not lose the new car smell, dear God. So right now, I just pray in my life and those that are listening that we just re-empowered by you to be in your word, to understand what you're saying, and then to speak out and just to go. When we are compelled, when we are led, may we follow the name of Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in your name. Everyone says, amen.
Okay, so kind of excited because we have an opportunity to do this journey together outside of Sunday mornings, a chance to dive deeper into the scriptures for each one of us on our own. Because the cool thing about God is that he wants to speak to us individually. We don't have to just come and hear it from the pastor on Sunday mornings. He'll talk to us through his word and through prayer, and I love that. So how many of you, hopefully, a lot of you have had a chance to sign up for the free Right Now Media account. If you haven't, it's, there's lots of amazing streaming series on there, but if you haven't, see Cheyenne. We also have instructions at the welcome area of how to get on that free app. But the Gospel of Mark series is on there, but also there's a companion daily devotional that we want to do together as a church. And so I just want to show you kind of how to access that. This is if you are accessing it from a computer desktop. It'll be a little different if you're accessing it from your phone. But I just did, you see where it's kind of like the browse in the corner, the little circle icon. I just browsed and I just typed in the Gospel of Mark daily devotional. And when I did that, that's what came up, and you'll kind of see it. And then I click go to content. So once you do that, this is what you'll see. You'll see this on your phone as well. And what's really neat is that each day, so if you go into the outline, it'll be like week one, day one, week one, day two, and so on. Click inside, Chad, just click inside, like, yeah, that's good. You have to kind of click into it. If you click into the, okay, where you just were, like right there, yeah. It'll pull up what you need to, so this is all day one on week one. Just has like some backstory really quickly. And then if you go back out of that, Chad, you can actually watch, there's a little video icon. You can actually watch the video that we just watched. So each week, if you're not able to be here, or if you just want to watch it again, you can always watch it to stay on track with where we are. And then, like, I like it because if you go a little deeper, like day two, day three, day four, it keeps going a little deeper into the scriptures, like you're reading what the weekly reading is for that week. I think the first week is like Mark chapter 1:1-13. And then it'll like even take you deeper to some of the Greek language, some of the history. So it's just really neat as you kind of go into it each day, it takes you a little deeper into the passage that we're focusing on for that week. And so you can actually walk away learning a lot about the scripture. You know, you'll get a little bit from Pastor Matt or Pastor Chad on Sunday, but this will take you way deeper into the reading for the week. So it's pretty exciting. I think, you know, as Jesus says, follow me, come follow me. It's important that we know, if we're going to follow him, we kind of need to know him. And so this is just a great way to spend some time with him during the week, get to know him better, and kind of take this journey together as a church. So this week, if you're going to start it, you'll start with week one, day one, starting tomorrow. So cool. Thank you.
All right, let's do this together. Devotions don't take long. If you're like me, you're probably busier than you should be anyway, but think about what am I busy with and what's priority in my life. We get the Word of God and understanding of Jesus in our life, that's going to serve a purpose of why we live, of just sharing that with other people. So it's worth the time, even moving things, other things out of the way so we can make time for this. All right? Okay, you guys are dismissed.